Almost 900 people have applied to the new contact preference register. That is since the Birth Information and Tracing Act was signed into law in July. The Adoption Authority of Ireland have revealed these figures, and the chief executive does join me now. That is Patricia Carey. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
So this landmark legislation, it was enacted on the 1st of last month, the 1st of July. It does enable adopted people, those who were boarded out, and anyone who had their birth illegally registered, and people who have questions regarding their origins, to access their information. Tell us more.
So it is, as you said, it is absolutely landmark and historical legislation. For the first time in Ireland, we have legislation that gives adopted people the right to, in October, to apply for all the information that the Irish state holds about them. So in advance of that October, where we're going to open our information applications and our tracing applications, we're running a public information campaign to tell people about the new law, to tell them how they can apply, and to ask people, particularly adopted people and their families of origin, mums, dads, extended family, to register on the contact preference register, which essentially means people can indicate the level of contact they may wish to have. They may wish to meet, they may wish to share photographs, letters, they may wish, you know, not to meet, but share information, share medical information, which is critical for adoptees. So it's really about people choosing the preference that works for them. And then in October, as I said, we and ourselves in the Child and Family Agency will both open for applications for adoptees who want to have their information sent to them.
Many people have already received the leaflet that is going from house to house in this country.
Exactly. We believe it's so important, and the department and our partners in TUSLA believe this is so important, that we, every household in Ireland is in some way touched by adoption and adoption-related matters. It's really important to get the information out there. Some of it is sensitive, so that people have a chance to take that booklet away, to read it, maybe to go and talk to somebody about it. We're also circulating the booklets to nursing homes, libraries, prisons, you know, wherever Irish people are, and also abroad. Really important that we get in touch with people who live. We've sent booklets to every embassy in the world, particularly focusing on the UK, the US and Canada, where we know many adoptees and many of their family of origin have moved to.
And of the 891 people who applied to register a contact preference, believe it or not, only 32 people, 24 adoptees and 8 relatives, did express a desire for no contact. So the huge majority, Patricia, obviously wanting contact. 820 people expressing a preference for contact at some level. As you said, you can stipulate what that may be. And yourselves have said 39 applicants, that's 30 adoptees and 9 relatives, did not want contact but were willing to share information, medical in particular, as you noted, very important to people who are adopted. 786 applications from adoptees, 90 from birth parents and 15 from other relatives. It's early October this year, both information and tracing services under the legislation will open. What has it done for people out there, especially the adoptees, who have so much information that they'd like to know and now have the chance? It must be so liberating, I guess.
I think you're right. I mean, I think this is starting a national conversation, and we know as well that there was a dark past in Ireland for, you know, many adopted related matters, including, you know, more recently people whose births were illegally registered, unfortunately. So I think it's almost like Ireland is growing up as a nation, and the last couple of years, you know, the referendum on marriage equality and repealing the Eighth Amendment. So it's time now for people to talk openly and honestly maybe about things we wouldn't have spoken about 10, 20, 30 plus years ago. And I do think a lot of adoptees are very, very anxious coming up to October that they get the information that the state holds about them. This is about people's rights to their identities and to documents that are held about their identity. So yeah, you're right. I mean, I think it's important, it's critical, but it's also timely legislation as well.
And Patricia, if anybody's listening to you this morning and maybe they're on the fence about registering or about sharing details, would you have advice for them to steer them to make obviously their own decision, not to encourage them to do one thing or the other, but advice in general just to help them make that decision?
I think so. I mean, I would always say to people, talk to somebody you trust. It might be a friend, it might be a relative, it might be a medical practitioner, it might be a member of whatever church you're a member of, or, you know, somebody else. But if people are wondering, should they register or should they not register, I would always say to people, err on the side of registering. And often people will meet me and say, oh, I registered before and I didn't get anything. Well, we're really saying, like, this is the first time in Ireland that there is legislation that says people can get their information and have a tracing service. So it's really important that people consider it carefully. And the other thing to say is people can change their preference. So you mentioned about people who have no contact preference. They might, over time, through conversations, reconsider that. They might say, well, I don't want contact, but I'm willing to share information. So all of those options are there. And I think the booklet going into every household will help people and give them time to look at that. But also, I'd encourage people, if they have access, to look at birthinfo.ie. So it's a specific website just about this legislation.
Okay, birthinfo.ie if you've yet to receive one of those leaflets or booklets into your household.
Exactly.
We have actually received one here at the radio station. I've gone through it myself.
Super.
And
Super.
When these records are released, only contact preferences recorded on the register at that point in time can be released. But as Patricia pointed out, you can change your preference. However, contact preferences can still be registered after that date, is the message from the Adoption Authority of Ireland. And of course, that is the Chief Executive there, Patricia Carey. Thank you so much, Patricia.
Thank you.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Kildare KFM.
All right, welcome back to the programme. Now, we got an email in from a couple of parents in Selbridge with concern about school bus places. And one particular email reads, I just want to make light of the chaos that the announcement by Minister of Education Norma Foley has caused. Early in July, she announced that school transport will become free for whoever applies. As a consequence, the number of applications increased during this month, and now people that actually need the service have lost it due to Bus Éireann's incapacity to accommodate such demand. Some people who registered and paid for the service before the announcement have now received a letter via email from Bus Éireann stating that they could not accommodate the children due to high demand and that this selection has been random. Please could you share it and bring it to light? The affected area in our case is Selbridge, and the school in the north of the county is being affected. That was one parent. Another parent joins us on the line now. Her name is Tatiana Costello. Tatiana, good morning and welcome to Kildare Today.
Good morning, how are you?
I'm not too bad. Did you have, a similar experience to that listener that emailed in to us? You got an email from Bus Éireann saying that your child's school base or school bus place has been cancelled.
Yes, so I have two children in North Kildare. Okay, together we live 3.4 kilometres away, so they both have been taking the bus for the last... My daughter has been taking the bus for the last 3 years.
Mm.
And my son, this is his second year taking it. My son got a ticket on the bus for this year, but we got an email from my daughter saying that she has lost her place.
What's the reason that they're given?
They just told him, unfortunately, or the email that was, unfortunately, your daughter has lost her seat on the bus. They didn't really give an explanation. We rang them and they said that it's just, unfortunately, this has been kind of like a lottery thing, so she didn't make it. So that's the only explanation we ever got from them.
And you meet all the criteria, as do the other parents who have been in touch with us, that, you know, yep, you're within the kilometre radius, you live 3.4 kilometres away from the school, other children live in 3.2 kilometres, so they're all meeting that criteria. But this is a random selection now. Some students are getting a place on the bus and some aren't.
Yeah, so I have my son that got a place and my daughter that doesn't. And we've paid every year for the past 3 years for her, and this year I understand the demand is higher, but surely they would have had to give priority to the kids that have been taking the bus for the last few years.
And Tatiana, it's worth pointing out here that, you know, there's only, 3 weeks to go until school goes back, returns?
Exactly, and it's very, very stressful for myself and my husband, because we have no way, like with work, have no idea how we're going to get my daughter to school.
So you both work, do you? Yourself and your husband. So you can't drop.
We have the buses. That's why we've got the bus for them every year. So We don't know what, I honestly don't know what we're going to do. So it's a bit stressful, especially 3 weeks before the school starts.
Yeah, you were only notified of this a couple of days ago, about 48 hours ago. So, there is less than a month to go until school. You're not really given the best opportunity now to organise things. When you got in touch with Bus Éireann, or have you been in contact with them since? And, you know, is there any, I suppose, solution going to be found here?
Well, we appealed our case, so we're waiting to hear from that. We've also contacted the school. The school said that they are looking into it, and they've contacted Bus Éireann too. So we're just waiting to hear back, really.
All right, hang on the line there for me, because I know you've been in touch with local councillors as well, including Labour councillor Ciara Galvin, who's on the line. Ciara, what's going on here?
Well, it's funny. Tatiana there and another parent came to me yesterday about this and said, look, is there anything you can do? I said, well, I'm a councillor. This is a national scheme. It's not something I can really intervene in. But when I listen to their stories and they're telling me, you know, they've been getting these buses for 3, 4, 5 years each, and then one child gets it and the other child doesn't. I mean, it makes no sense, Owen. So I suggested that, first of all, they appeal the decisions, which I believe they've already done, and also that they get in touch with the media, because I think we really need to draw attention to just how absurd the situation is, that one child might get a place and the other wouldn't, or, you know, parents who have been paying for the service for 3, 4, 5, 6 years suddenly have lost their place because of the increased demand, because of the announcement that it's suddenly going to be free.
Yeah.
So it doesn't seem fair to the parents who are using the service. It's certainly not fair to do it this late in the year. And it just seems like there was a complete lack of thought went into this announcement that the transport will be free, and they haven't increased the supply to meet the increased demand that they should really have seen coming.
And as some of the parents have pointed out to us as well, it's not done now on a first-come, first-served basis. It's been done on a complete random selection. And in Tatiana's case now, she has one child who has the place on the bus and one child who doesn't. And as I mentioned from the outset, meets all the criteria. You've been in touch with Bus Éireann, or you've wrote a letter to them. What did you say, and have you got a response?
Yeah, I wrote to the lady. She contacts us. She lets us know when the applications are open for the school transport, and she works for Bus Éireann. So I contacted her yesterday. I didn't hear anything back, so I actually got on to their Oireachtas liaison team. They deal with questions from the public, and I got an acknowledgement that my email had been received, but I haven't heard anything back. I've also tweeted them. I've yet to hear anything back from any of them. So I think the only way really to get this addressed is to make as much noise as we can, and try just highlight again how absurd the situation is. And thank you for featuring it on the show.
Yeah, some messages coming in already, and I'd be interested to know if this is just affecting Selbridge, because something in me tells me it's not. That perhaps there might be other places around the county that parents are starting to have problems with school buses. Do get in touch with us, because I'm going to follow this up. I'll get in touch with Bus Éireann after the programme and see what we can do. One listener says, I've never had as much trouble trying to apply for tickets as I did this year. Once Norma Foley made the announcement, Bus Éireann clearly felt the pressure to meet the demand of applications, as they had to address the issues online on Twitter, Facebook, etc. Their site was overwhelmed. What did concern me, however, was that families were also posting on social media that they had received their tickets in mid-July. The end date for applications was July 29th. I questioned whether this was a first-come, first-served process. Tatiana, did you receive physical tickets for your children, or did you just get an email confirming that you would get a ticket?
We've received one for my son, a ticket in the post.
Right, and nothing for your daughter?
When we applied for both of them at the same time. It was in late at the end of June, we received emails saying that that was fine, that they got the seats and everything. So then we received our son's ticket, and then 2 days ago we received an email saying that my daughter has lost her seat.
Right, as I say, we're going to follow up on that. And please, 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 if there's anyone else listening in the county, if you're having trouble getting your child a place on a school bus, or if you were told you would have a place on that school bus and it's been cancelled, get in touch with us and we'll follow up. That's the situation in Selbridge. Ciara Galvin, you might keep in touch with us as well and let us know if you get a response from Bus Éireann, Labour councillor on the Selbridge Leixton Municipal District, and also Tatiana Costello, who is one of those parents. Incredible story. One child has a place on the bus, the other child now doesn't have a place on the bus, even though they were both told that they would have places. I understand completely that the demand that Bus Éireann are being put under after that announcement from Norma Foley, the Minister for Education, to say that those school buses were free. They had to then meet that demand, and that's not, you know, maybe with the services that they have, it might not be the easiest situation. But is there not some other solution that could be made? Perhaps it should have been done on a first-come, first-served basis. We'll follow up on it. But that is the latest at the moment from that situation. All right, after the break, we're going to turn our attentions to the sporting action and look ahead to the Curra races and the local GAA action. And we have another piece of music as well. Keep the text coming.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film. All under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Morning, Owen and Ciara. Would you please wish a very happy birthday to Katie Murray of Rathcurra in Newbridge. Lots of love from Helen. So Katie Murphy in Newbridge, hope you have a great day and a very happy birthday to you. Now, the Curra will stage a series of four summer Saturday race days throughout the month of August, beginning tomorrow with great racing, barbecues, live music and fun for all the family. The race course is introducing a variety of initiatives, including a great value summer Saturday bundle to include admission, race card, a barbecue burger voucher and a free €10 bet for only €25 per person. They must be bought in advance though on the website curra.ie. And Evan Arkwright is racing and sponsorship manager at the Curra Racecourse. He's on the line now. Good morning, Evan.
Morning, Owen.
Another busy weekend in store and actually another busy month coming up now throughout the course of August.
Yeah, we're about halfway through the season now, Owen. So yeah, we've got a very busy couple of months ahead of us, including these four Saturday meetings. And it's kind of, I suppose, exciting that we have a bit of consistency running for the month. So every Saturday afternoon there is racing and very good racing. And then, you know, there's plenty of other attractions as well. So hopefully getting plenty of families in, plenty of the local community in to support what should be a really good series throughout the month.
Yeah, so far this year it's been a great year for the Curra with the Oaks weekend, the Longines weekend and also now with the Summer Series. There's going to be free activities for the younger race goers as well, while the race day party will continue after racing with Night Train performing in the Champions Hall from 5 o'clock. So as we've mentioned to you before, you don't have to be the biggest racing fan to go along, because there's lots more happening besides.
Not at all, and of course we have the KFM broadcast here on Saturday to launch the series as well, so it'd be great to have you here. Yeah, so there's plenty kind of activities for everyone to enjoy, and as you mentioned, that bundle is really good value, so hopefully people will just need to check the website and buy that in advance. Obviously admission on the day is people can just rock up here at the entrance and pay, and all under 18s accompanied by adults are free. But the racing tomorrow is particularly good, so it's a great way of kicking off of these four Saturday meetings. So the Keene and Phoenix Stakes being the feature race, it's a group one race for Tourelles, and really it's probably the best race for Tourelles that takes place in Europe by a long way this year. So you've got a very strong representation from Britain, the two very, very good horses coming over from Archie Watson and from Richard Hannon, two of the leading trainers in England, taking on the home team of Aidan O'Brien. And then Johnny Merker, obviously local trainer here based on the Curra, has a horse called Shartash, owned by his highness the Aga Khan, and that's in the race as well. So there's only six runners in the big race, but there's six very, very good horses.
Yeah, you're also going to have a guest of honour, Claire Cronin, the US ambassador to Ireland, is going to be out at the Curra tomorrow.
Yeah, she's been in Kildare before, and I think she's trying to get around every county in the country at the moment. But it'd be lovely to have her. And Keeneland are a big thoroughbred sales company and racetrack based in Kentucky. So every year when we run this race, we invite whoever the ambassador is. So she'll be here as our guest of honour. As I said, that's only one of eight races. The first race at 1:30, the Rathaska Stud Phoenix Sprint is another very good race. Top sprint race, plenty of interest from both the local trainers, and also we have three runners coming from across the water as well. So, you know, from start to finish, the racing is of high quality. And then, you know, with the weather being nice, people can really enjoy kind of the other entertainment that's going on during the afternoon as well.
Yeah, just before you go then, Evan, give us the details when the gates open tomorrow, how people can get the bundles or the admission tickets, and you're offering the complimentary shuttle bus again from Newbridge and Kildare Town, aren't you?
Yeah, that's worked really well on. So, yeah, there's a complimentary shuttle bus both from Newbridge and Kildare Town. It picks up in the train station in Kildare and picks up in the square in Kildare Town and shuttles to the race course. And the Newbridge service then comes to the train station, picks up outside the riverbank, outside Eddie Rockets and outside the Cadian as well. So that's free, and people just hop on to it. Then, yeah, gates open at 11:30, first race 1:30. The bundle is the thing that needs to be bought in advance. That's with, as I said, admission, a 10 euro bet, item from the barbecue and the race car, that's 25 euro. And then, you know, if you just want admission, you can buy that online as well, or come here on the race course. And as I said, kids under 18 are free. So, yeah, hopefully plenty of people come out. The forecast is very good for tomorrow, so no better place to be for the afternoon. And as I said, it'd be great to have KFM here live on the day as well.
Yeah, lots to look forward to starting tomorrow and then running each Saturday over the course of August the 13th, 20th and 27th. It's the Curra Summer Series, and as Evan mentioned, KFM will be broadcasting live from the Curra tomorrow afternoon. Looking forward to that. And that is Evan Arkwright, Racing and Sponsorship Manager at the Curra Racecourse. More details, and you can purchase the tickets online at curra.ie. Right, let's look ahead to the local sporting action, and on the line is KFM commentator Ger McNally. Ger, good morning to you. Another busy weekend of GAA action starting this evening in the senior championship. If we take a look at that first, Moorfield against Carberry.
Yeah, it's going to be a good game here. Moorfield, I suppose there's a mixed bag really so far. Two draws in the championship so far, which doesn't happen too often in Loughborough, albeit they did lose after extra time against Naas in the preliminary round. They were a game of two halves last time out against Johnstone Bridge. They were really poor in the first half, but battled back very well in the second half to eventually force a draw. And as the previous week against Naas as well, had a last kick of a 45 to win that game as well. So I think there was a good battling spirit shown there by Gerard Brennan's team in the second half, and I was particularly impressed by Aaron Masterson, who has been around a few years now, of course, with the captain of that under 20 side, but he really was a leader for Moorfield in that second half and dragged his team back into that game. So that was very encouraging from their point of view. From Carberry's point of view as well, they were disappointing, I suppose, first day out, but again they were improved last time in Hawkfield. That'd be the game I was in that against Round Towers and won that one well. It'd be an interesting game if Moorfield can show what they showed in the second half. That they maybe will get the victory, that they probably have that know-how of getting the wins against these teams like Carberry. A long time since Carberry would have beaten Moorfield in a championship, if ever at all, so certainly a long time anyway. So yeah, you'd have to give Moorfield the edge, but you couldn't be too surprised if Carberry pushed them close.
Yeah, and just before we hear from sports editor of the Leinster Leader, Tommy Callaghan as well, Ger, if you take a look at the other three games that are taking place tonight in the Intermediate Championship, Alan Wood up against Ellistown. Alan Wood had a great league campaign, and they are carrying that through now into the Championship as well.
Yeah, they did a massive win the last day, didn't they? Against Rattangan. So you have to have the fancy Alan Wood definitely in that game. Ellistown themselves were well beaten by Carr as well, so that one looks fairly cut and dried if you're to go on form. Although Ellistown obviously had the opening round victory against Milltown in the preliminary round, but yeah, judging by the last day, you'd have to fancy Alan Wood to take the victory here this evening.
Yeah, there's also two games in the Junior Championship, Revan against Kappa, and then in Raheen's it's Kill against Rathcoffey. Ger McNally looking at those games, of course. He'll be on commentary duty throughout the course of the weekend with Seamus Dillon. Tommy Callaghan, on to tomorrow then, and in the Senior Championship, three games in St Conlett's Park. Clonmacnoise against St Lawrence's, Clane versus Selbridge, Round Towers against Johnstown Bridge, and they're going to be three very tasty games, Tommy.
Absolutely. Plaharinco against Lawrence's. Lawrence had a very good win over Country last day out. Plaharinco defeated Kilcock. It's probably the least attractive, no disrespect to any of them, the teams, but neither of them would be expected to be at the business end of the championship. It'll probably come down to, Plaharinco with the likes of Jack Robinson and Keane McMonagall. And then you have with Lawrence's, Podge Fogarty's the big man there. And if they can keep Podge Fogarty quiet, easier said than done, in fairness, Plaharinco could get over that line. But if they fail to keep Podge in tow, it could be a win for the Larrys. The next one was Clane and Selbridge.
Clane and Selbridge, yeah. And then that's followed by Round Towers and Johnstown Bridge.
Yeah, Clane and Selbridge. Selbridge defeated Sarsfields, of course, the last day out. You could say they were a little bit fortunate. Maybe Sarsfields looked to me like a team that they were in control without pulling away, and then they conceded a goal. A decent enough goal, now, in fairness. You could say, was he going for a point? Was he going for a goal? It ended up in the back of the net, so it makes no difference. And then, in fairness to Selbridge, when they got their noses ahead, they kept their noses ahead and kept their noses ahead well. Second game there is...
Towers and Johnstown Bridge then in the evening game.
Not a very interesting one. Very interesting game. Johnstown Bridge, as we have said here on numerous occasions, are just unpredictable. They're very, very unpredictable. You probably always give them the benefit of the doubt, but so many times they let you down then, you know. You still expect them to win it, but Towers are Towers, and Towers will dig in. They have a habit of scoring goals. They would have been disappointed at the last outing, but I still give the benefit of the doubt to Johnstown Bridge.
Yeah, there's also a senior game tomorrow evening in Hawkfield at 6 o'clock. Maynooth against Eadstown.
Yeah, Maynooth against Eadstown. I mean, Eadstown would be looked upon as maybe not quite the strongest team of the whole lot, but... I mean, a tie defeated Maynooth, Nace defeated Eadstown, and now Nace were never really in trouble against Eadstown, but having said that, Eadstown did hang in. You know, they hung in for a lot of the game, even though they never really looked like they were going to win it. Maynooth last day were defeated by a tie. I was a bit disappointed with Maynooth, to be honest with you. I thought they didn't play particularly well, but at the same time, you'd expect Maynooth to beat Eadstown.
All right, if we go on then to Sunday in the Senior Championship, Tommy, we start off with the game at 2 o'clock in Newbridge. Confey against Kilcock, a battle of North Kildare here.
Yeah, a battle of North Kildare. Last time out, Confey were very, very poor. Larry's bet Confey the last day, and I must say, I felt Confey were... They were decent in the first half, but they were playing with a strong breeze, and once the pressure came on them in the second half, they weren't at it, you know. I really can't see Confey winning this one, to be quite honest with you.
All right, so if we then turn our attentions to the second two games in St. Conlon's Park, and these are probably the two biggest games of the weekend, Tommy. Sarsfields against Raheens, which is a local derby there. Some people don't, kind of recognise it as a local derby, but very little separating the two. And then Nace against Athy.
Yeah, taking the Sarsfields one first, as you say very, very correctly, that a lot of people might realise the rivalry between Sarsfields and Raheens. We spoke about it here before, and it's big, it's major. Maybe very close to being Sarsfields Moorfield, in that kind of a bracket. Sarsfields the last day, as we were saying, defeated by Selbridge. David Buck would not be pleased with Sarsfields. Sarsfields, look, they're still a good team. They lost the last day by a couple of points, but that doesn't make them a poor team. But I think one of their problems is they're not quite sure yet what their starting 15 is, what their best 15 is, and that could be a bit of a problem. Raheens, very disappointed the last day to lose the claim by a point. Big setback for them. This is a big game for Raheens, because if they lose this one, depending on the way results go, could be very, very harsh on them. At the end of the day, both teams will go into this one very, very eager to win it. Yeah, listen, you can talk all day long, but you have to fancy Sarsfield. Raheens, I don't think they're playing as well as they were earlier in the year. They seem to be going off the boil a bit. They would certainly be up for this one. There's no motivation needed, but at the end of the day, you have to give it to Sarsfield.
All right, Nace against the Thigh then?
Listen, this is, to me, the game I'm really looking forward to over the weekend. Two good teams. Two teams that are playing well. A tie defeat at Minute the last day. They did it very comfortably within themselves. I think a tie are playing particularly well, and some of their players are playing really well. Kevin Feely is having an outstanding club season to date so far. David Hyland is playing very well. Niall Kelly is playing well, and Barry Kelly is a very underrated footballer in my opinion. I think Barry Kelly is a man. I'd love to see Barry Kelly get an extended run with the county team, to be quite honest with you. It hasn't gone on. Barry's in the middle of it. There's no doubt in the world about that, but you need one of them lads on every team. Nace, what can you say about Nace? They defeated Easttown, as we said earlier. They're the county champions. I think they're not playing up to the highest standard yet, but they haven't had to play up to it yet. And regardless of that result, Nace are going to be very close at the end of the year anyway. I'd probably give it to Nace, but at the same time, I'm looking forward to this one, and it'll be a big test, probably a bigger test for a tie than for Nace. If Nace win this one, it'll give them huge, not that Nace are lacking in confidence anyway, but it would dent a tie's hopes of going all the way. So I just give it to Nace. They want to put down that marker. It will be a marker come a couple of weeks' time when they'll be meeting, and the top teams will be competing at the business end of the league or the championship. And I slightly give it to Nace, but it's higher in there with a big chance.
All right, in the intermediate championship then, Tommy, that's our look at the senior championship. But back to Saturday, and in Group B, Rathangan against Cara, followed by Ballymore Eustace against St Kevin. So if we start off with Rathangan and Cara.
Yeah, Rathangan and Cara. Just getting me notes here. There's so many matches. Do you know what you'd want to be?
Do you not have your personal secretary with you there, Tommy, sorting out all those notes?
I don't have one of them. No. Rathangan. I mean, I don't want to beat Rathangan last time out, and Cara were too strong. Alan would defeat Rathangan. Rathangan down at the bottom of the table, but Alamore are going the best of the whole lot of them at the minute. Cara, I was at the Cara match, and I must say, I thought Cara played at Ellistown. I was impressed with Cara that they played well, and I'd probably give it to Cara, to be quite honest with you. They're getting a bit of momentum into them. As usual, the intermediate is going to be a tough one to win, but I think Cara would have enough to get over Rathangan.
Okay, the other game then is Ballymore Eustace against St Kevin's. Ballymore have not had the best season, particularly in the league, getting relegated. They were beaten in their first game, I'm pretty sure, as well. St Kevin's are doing quite well, though.
Ballymore and Kevin's. Ballymore bet Kilcullen last time out in a bit of a shock result. Bet them by a point, I think it was. I think that could have been Ballymore's first win of the year, the season. And as you said, they were relegated, but they have a few lads back, and that could make a difference to them. Kevin's disappointing, not having a great year. I think Ballymore just might make it back-to-back wins, which would be huge for them. As I said, they have a couple of lads back. They have been decimated. Their team has been decimated since last year. They lost an amount of players, but I'm hearing that there's a few of them back, and it just might be enough to get them over the line here.
What about the game in Group A, Leixlip against 2 Mile House? That's at 4:30 on Saturday.
Yeah, Leixlip against 2 Mile House. Many people, of course, are talking about Leixlip as being potential winners. They haven't been playing particularly well, to be quite honest with you. Not as well as you'd be expecting them to play. Salins defeated 2 Mile House the last time out, and Castledown and Leixlip drew. That was a bit of an upset, really. You would have expected Leixlip to beat Castledown, but anyway, it was a draw match. At the end of the day, I still think Leixlip would get over. 2 Mile House had an up and down kind of a league. Disappointing the last day. So, yeah, I have to go over Cleeship to get over to my house on this occasion.
All right, on to Sunday's games then. And if we actually start at the bottom then, Tommy, so this is the game at 4:30 on Sunday. It's the other game in Group A. You mentioned there Salins and Castle Dermot. Salins in pole position here. Another win would see them go through after their first win against 2 Mile House.
Yeah, good win over 2 Mile House. No doubt about that. Castle Dermot, as I said, had that draw. Castle Dermot can be a very sticky team to beat. You know, they find it hard to win championships, but they're always sticky to beat most teams, especially down in their own patch. This time, of course, they're in Hawkfield. But Salins are going well. They're playing well. They're a fairly youngish team, and they play a nice brand of football. I give it to Salins. I think Salins will, as you say, if Salins win this one, that put them through, it'll be 2 from 2. So I'll stick with Salins to keep the winning run going.
The other games then at 12 o'clock, it's Milltown against Suncroft, and at 1:30, Ballyteague against Kilcullen. So let's start off with Milltown against Suncroft.
Milltown against Suncroft, that's in Group...
Group D.
That's in Group D. Yeah, Nonny defeated Milltown last time out. I was at that match myself. Nonny, the one that comfortable enough, and Suncroft defeated Manastreven. Manastreven have been a it was a draw match there. Suncroft got a good draw against Manastreven last time out, and Suncroft would have been more than happy with that match, with that result. You'd expect Nonny and Manastreven to be, to me, they look the two strongest teams in it. And but I think Nornie will just over. They play well enough, played very well the last day actually, and I think Nornie will get over Manastreven on this occasion.
Yeah, in Group C, Ballyteague against Kilcullen then finally, Tommy.
Group C, Ballyteague against Kilcullen. Ballyteague could win over to Cork last day. As I said, Ballymore shot Kilcullen. Bally Kevin's down at the bottom there with no points. Ballymore, I think Ballyteague. Kilcullen will be very, very anxious to win this one. They were very disappointed to lose their last match to Ballymore. I said they would have been into that. They would have been into that kind of a bit. Maybe they were a bit cocky. I wouldn't know. It's kind of a local derby too, so anything can happen in that. Ballyteague, Jimmy High in the course, and I think that could be the difference. Ballyteague, Jimmy High scored 10 points the last day for Ballyteague. The big kick up, and he's playing well. And while no one man will win any match for you, one man can certainly help you get over the line. And go for Ballyteague.
Yeah, and we'll have updates of all of those games throughout the weekend here on KFM. There's also a couple of matches in the Junior Championship, as I mentioned, two tonight, Ribbon against Kappa and Kill versus Rathcoffey. Tomorrow then it's Robertstown against Ballykelly, and also on Saturday evening in the Group 1 game, it's in Kilcullen, Strafford versus Grange Novan. And you can hear all the reports here on KFM and read the reports and analysis in next week's Leinster Leader. That is sports editor of the Leinster Leader, Tommy Callaghan, with that look ahead to the weekend's action.